And it's all there for us to learn by. We all need to study and read our Bibles and learn the lessons. So many times we have to learn a lesson the hard way. And we remember the lessons we learned the hard way. But we need to be taught some lessons that we don't have to learn the hard way. We can avoid them. The Bible's main theme from Genesis to Revelation is that scarlet cord that ties it all together. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. The only means of salvation and our ticket to heaven. I don't care what Oprah says, there's only one way to heaven. Oprah tries to tell us that there's many, many ways to get there. And I'm afraid if she's studying the many ways, she probably won't get there. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. And through the Bible, we see that there are many facets to that, the Bible story, but only one way. The Bible also records the deeds and the misdeeds of those that didn't willingly follow what God tried to teach them. And those that didn't willingly serve him, and oftentimes the punishment that they justly deserved, justly earned, we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We read in the Bible of service. The first thing we read about, I think, is recorded service. Many times in the Bible, God records what his servants have done. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Nothing slides past the eyes of God. God sees everything. And we think sometimes that we can do something and we can get past the eyes of God, maybe do that in the dark. God sees in the dark. Nothing gets past the eyes of God. So we're responsible for our service, just ours, not anyone else's, but just ours. We read about Elijah and David and Gideon and Peter, James, John, countless others, and how they serve God. And many times their sins and their shortcomings are recorded for our learning, for our admonition. So we learn about recorded services. We also read of the many times and the many ways that their service to God is rewarded. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 17, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Brought to remind us, brought to mind are Enoch and Elijah, who God translated bypassing death. They didn't have to meet the death angel. God took them home. We read of faithful Caleb and that mountain. Caleb was one of two, Caleb and Joshua. They went through the promised land and looked it over and came back and says, we can do it. The other 10 says, no, we can't. But they stayed faithful, Caleb and Joshua. And when they went in, after 40 years walking in the wilderness, Caleb was 85 years old, and it come time to get his reward, and God promised him. Caleb says, I want that mountain where the giants are. Give me that. I can take them. I'm good. I'm only 85. I'm just a spring chicken. I used to be a spring chicken until I got with 86 last week, so I'm no longer a spring chicken. I'm a fall chicken. But Caleb took that mountain and he conquered it at age 85. David in the lion's den. And then what God rewarded him with the vision of things at the end time in order to get the all the visions of the end time, we have to take Revelation, Daniel, and the prophecy of Balaam, the prophet. And those things put together will give us a vision of the end times. God gave him that, and then John on the Isle of Patmos. And God gave him and rewarded him at the age of 96 with the revelation that we read today. Many, many, many more in pages of the God's book that reaped not only heavenly rewards, but they were rewarded here on earth for their service to God. So we see recorded services and we see rewarded services. Acts chapter 9 records the conversion of Saul the Pharisee to Paul the Apostle. It seems that it records the beginning of his service. And in Acts chapter 9, verses 23 through 31, we find the third group of people. And these are the people that have the unrecorded service. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took courage to kill him. We'll start in verse 23 of Acts chapter 9. But their laying in wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them that continuing in and going in and out in Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Father, we ask that you add your blessing to the reading of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And we see that third group of people. This is a people, we don't see their names. We don't know who they were. But nevertheless, God blessed them. I wish I had the other hand here. I think I got most of it. This third group of people we meet, their names are not recorded. They are not openly stated for their reward or for their services. We see no openly stated reward for their services performed. If you tried to read my writing, you'd understand why I have a problem with it. I used to be right-handed. And now I'm left-handed, not by choice. However, the importance of their service to God and the Apostle Paul echoes throughout all eternity as Saul the Pharisee becomes Paul the Apostle. And he wrote the church epistles, plus the book of Hebrews, 14 books in the New Testament written by Paul. Their names and rewards are not recorded in any earthly journals only in the annals of heaven. God recorded them. We don't see them. Many of us today fall into that same category. We're about 2,000 years too late to get put in the Bible. I'm sorry to say, I know that probably breaks your heart, that little bit of information. But we're a couple of thousand years too late to be put in the Bible, but our service, or our lack of service, is thoroughly recorded in the annals of heaven. Maybe on earth we're not recorded, maybe on earth we're not even rewarded, but in the books of heaven we're put down. Notice verse 25. Verse 25, it says, "Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." We do not have the answer to the question here, who held the rope? Do you ever ask yourself that question? You could study the pages of the Bible, and it doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us who held the rope that day that let Paul down and he got away from the ones that wanted to kill him. The future members of Paul, future ministry of Paul the Apostle, depended on that service that those men performed that day. He would have not had a ministry had not those men let him down by that wall with their ropes. We have a room full today of rope holders. Every one of you has a position on that rope, whether good, bad, large, or small. Everybody in here has a job of holding the rope for Bible Baptist Church in Byesville, Ohio, and for our pastor. The ministry of this church and your pastor depends on you as rope holders. And you may not be recorded in the books of the Bible or any other place, but every little job in the church has a position on that rope. And I want to talk to you for a short time today about the rope holders. Calvin Coolidge was noted for lack of speech. This lady walked up to Calvin Coolidge, one of our presidents, I think it was about 1920, is that right, Darrell? 1920, 1921, 22. But Calvin Coolidge was noted for not having a lot to say. This lady walked up to him and she says, "I bet somebody that I could get you to say three words." Calvin Coolidge looked at her and says, "You lose." They said that Calvin Coolidge said one day, "My wife cooked a meal the other day that was so good I almost told her so." That was Calvin Coolidge. How many times are we guilty of that? We hear a good message from our pastor and we walk out and don't say a word. We need to say, "You know, preacher, that was a good message." We need to tell him. And the Sunday school teachers, we need to tell them, "Thank you for your service to our children, our grandchildren. Thank you for what you do." Do you love your church and your pastor, and do you show it? So many times we're like Calvin Coolidge. We almost tell him that. We almost show it. Do you attend every service of the church when the church doors are open? We should. Unless you're dead, sick in the bed, or off in the head, you need to be in church when the doors are open. That's the only good excuse for not missing church. Because, as Bob Jones says, the best ability is dependability. We need to be dependable. I know in church services on the Sunday morning, We've been running up the 120s, 130s along in there. Sunday night, 50, 60. Wednesday night, 40, 50. There's probably some good reasons. I know a lot of people work second shifts and can't come in, but there's not a good reason to sit home and watch TV when you should be in God's house. Some of the best messages you get during the week, Sunday night and Wednesday night, the good teachings that come from this pulpit in here. The other thing, do you pray every day for your church family and for your pastor? You ought to start your day with prayer for your brothers and sisters in Christ and for your church family and for your pastor. That's part of being in love with your church and your pastor. Do you love your church and your pastor, and do you show it? Are you a cheerful giver of your time and your talent and your tithe? The windows of heaven are directly under those three things: your time, your talent, and your tithe. Do you love your missionaries, and do you pray for them daily and support them financially? We have, I think at the time, 54 missionaries that we support. I think if I remember right, Sunday night we added two more missionaries. Did we not do that? I thought so. That's fantastic for a church this size. And it's not $10 or $15 a month. It's to the tune of $100 to $125 a month per missionary. So we have between $6,000 and $7,000 going out every month around the world to our missionaries. The sun does not set on a missionary at Bible Baptist Church. Our mission giving goes all the way around the world and to the othermost parts of the world, the ones that we can't go to, we send missionaries to. And it's our responsibility to pray for those missionaries and to support those missionaries financially. Are you a cheerful giver of your time and your talent and your tithe? Time, being in God's house, talent, using whatever God has blessed you with in the service of God here at Bible Baptist Church. Do you brag about your church family and your pastor and the goodness that God has given you, and to yours, and all the blessings that He's poured out on you? I talked to somebody the other day in the facility that I reside at now. And they were talking about their church, and they were bragging about their church. Well, we had a bragging contest. Says, my church is better than your church. My pastor is better than your church, than your pastor. And I've been more blessed than you've been blessed. And I'll tell you, we had a good old time. Has God blessed your church? You look around us, we're in a building that cost $750,000 to build in 1973. And it's paid for. And we bought it for $102,000. And we thank the Catholics for building us a nice building. We thank the Catholics for furnishing us nice pews and all the other things that they did for us. So Don't think that you ought not to bless the Catholics, because they really blessed us. And God has blessed us with a nice facility. Not only that, He's blessed us with extra parking down here and over here, and a bus garage back in the back. And all of that is paid for by the giving of God's people and the blessings of God. These missionaries that you see around the wall here, that's why God blesses this church. Do you tell people how God has blessed this church? We ought to tell people how the blessing of God works. Tell somebody how God has blessed us. Has God blessed you? You know, I think of the things that God has blessed me with, and some of the things that you get blessed with, you may not think are a blessing. I thank God for having a stroke. And I do. Well, you say, well, something's wrong with that. Well, I didn't use this leg that much anyhow. You know, I'm 86 years old. I didn't need an extra arm. I had two, so I only need to use one. But I thought of the blessings. God put me in Cambridge Place, and a 75-year-old man that had never been in church all his life got saved because of my ministry in Cambridge Place. God put him under the, and just not me, there were other people witness to him and tried to get him in church, and finally they shamed him into coming to church. And he got there and he listened a couple times and a couple weeks, and then he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And I think of a lady that was 50 years old from Minerva, Ohio, that did vein scans as her job. And she came to a facility an hour and a half away from home that she had never been to before, with 46 rooms, and she got into the room of a Baptist preacher, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. I thank God for a stroke. There's two souls that I know of for sure that are in heaven because of my stroke. Has God blessed you? Tell somebody. Tell them how God has poured out his blessing on you. Do you promote friendship and encourage fellowship? It doesn't hurt to come early and stay late. So many times we've had people come in the church and they rush in at the last minute or after the church started, and then the invitation's given, they shoot out the door, and then they tell everybody that we're not a friendly church. How do you figure that? So many times I've heard that. If you want to be, you want a friendly church, you got to be friendly. Stop and shake somebody's hand and talk to somebody. You got to watch out also for ageism. So many times, those of us that are older fail to connect with the younger ones, and that's wrong. One of the churches that I was blessed with had a ministry called Mixed Nuts. And every 3 months we would change our fellowship. We would put a young couple, a middle-aged couple, and an older couple together. And they would meet together at their homes. And I guess there were six families in the group. And they would switch off different homes that they would meet at once a month and just have fellowship together, the older ones and the younger ones. And we got to meet all the young ones in the church and all the middle-aged and all the older ones. We got the mixed. And they called it Mixed Nuts, and it worked real well because the church blended together that way. And that's what we have in here. We got a bunch of mixed nuts. And we need to be blended. You old geezers and old goats and old biddies, you shake hands with the young ones. I don't think our church is guilty of ageism. I think we pretty much mix it up. But don't forget to let that happen and let yourself become a part of all the church and all the age groups. And that's part of promoting friendship and encouraging fellowship. So you remember how important the church is to us and to God. It's very important to God because he sent his son to Calvary's cross to die. So if it's important to God, It's important to us. He sent his son to Calvary for this church. Is the work of God's and God's church more important than a nap or a TV program? I've seen people bust out of here because they don't want to miss a football game. I think God's work is a little more important than a football game. There's a truth, there's a lot of truth to that. You notice the ministry of the rope holders. God goes on. This was really the start of his ministry. God goes on, takes Paul, and we read about his ministry in the New Testament and the many churches he started and the many souls that were won to Christ, even from the prison. And this makes a lot of sense. It's easier to go on with your ministry when you're alive. It's tough when you're dead. And if those rope holders hadn't let Paul down off of that wall, even though we don't know who they are, and we don't know how they got rewarded here on earth, if they hadn't let Paul down in that basket, he wouldn't have had a ministry. If he'd have tried to go out the gate, they were waiting for him to kill him. His ministry went on. He was alive. Verse 28 says, he spoke boldly, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, and they went about to slay him. He went out there and he spoke boldly. Bold speaking brought edification. The word edification means constructing or building up in the faith, teaching and speaking wherever he went. That was the ministry of Paul, the ministry of edification. Verse 31, it says, then the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking by the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Edification, the building up of their faith, produced multiplication. Survival of the fittest. The strong multiply, the weak die. They were edified, they were built up in the faith, and they became strong in the faith. And because of the strength that they had in the faith, they multiplied. All because of some unnamed disciples who held a rope. That's what caused all of that. There's plenty of room on this church's rope for you. Every one of us can grab a handhold on that rope. Grab some rope and fill an empty seat. Grab some rope, support a missionary. Grab a hold of that rope and teach a class, Sunday school. Grab a rope, sing a song, be in a choir. Grab a rope and point a lost soul to salvation through Jesus Christ. All of us have a part in that rope. There's plenty of rope for us to grab a handhold. So why don't you and I, as God's people and members of Bible Baptist Church, take a hold of that rope and become a rope holder. I don't know that you'll be rewarded here on earth, and I don't know that whatever you do will be recorded, but one thing I do know, that you'll be rewarded and you'll be recorded in the annals of heaven. So let's all become a good rope holder for Bible Baptist Church and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we have a rope that we can hold on to, and that rope is that scarlet cord of the blood of Jesus Christ that we see throughout all the Bible. It ties all the pages of the scripture together from Genesis to Revelation. The blood of Jesus Christ that saves us from our sins. Help us, Lord, to be a help to those around us and to the fellowship and the friendship of the people in Bible Baptist Church, the missionaries around the world, and those that are lost without a hope salvation if it weren't for Bible Baptist Church and the rope that we have thrown out to them. So Lord, help us all to be rope holders. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.